Okay, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. It's a lovely Monday, a manic Monday, some may say. Who's this, the Bengals? Who the hell is this?
Yes.
What are they, this and walk like an Egyptian?
Yes, they did.
That's it.
Belinda Carlisle.
Anybody can be a one-hit wonder, but two-hit wonder, pretty good.
Hey.
Pretty good.
You can never say any bad things about Belinda Carlisle.
I will not. I wouldn't dare. I can say bad things about Adam Silver and what
a rat think
that he is.
You always will.
Unbelievable, this guy. How do you sit here? You know, before I get into the heat, you know, not having a 1% chance drop in their lap. How do you sit here all year whining about tanking? Crying about tanking. Oh, we got to do something about it. Oh, we got to fix something about it. Oh, here you go, Wizards. How do you do that? What kind of logic is that? You sit here and you say to yourself,
we're not rewarding people.
We're not going to reward anybody.
While rewarding the teams that are the worst at it.
That's crazy. The Wizards and their behavior this year. What do they lose? 24 out of 25 to end the season? That's insane. And then the Jazz. Let's not forget about the Jazz, who are tanking stealthily, where they'd only play three quarters, and then they go G League. They go Salt Lake. They go Salt Lake Jazz.
They
to
traded
end the fourth
for
quarter.
For all these players, and they didn't play.
Right, right. They're like, oh yeah, listen, hey, take it easy, Jaren Jackson. He goes, really? Like, I'm good. Oh, you're not, dude. Take a seat. But how do you sit here, and you have this big pout party? Oh, we got to do something about this. Oh, boo. Oh, never mind. Just we're going to give the worst tankers. Bulls, you tanked half the season, you get a pick. Memphis, you tanked and traded everybody, you get a pick. So, you know, do you not understand why this guy's not the phoniest of the phony? That's what he is. He is an A-class, A1, primo rat fink. That's what he is. That's why he's Commissioner Cover-Up. He just makes a big scene of everything but never does anything about anything. He's a fraud. An A1, top-notch fraud. So I don't want to hear it about it. Oh, we got to do something. We got to flatten the odds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until three people do podcasts about it and you'll change the rules again. It's unbelievable. This guy is such a bum. What, you know, oh, look at me, big Adam Silver, big commissioner, beep, 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 beep. Oh, I hate tanking and I hate people disrespecting my game. Never mind, you guys all get picks.
First of all, never do Adam Silver flexing. There's no way that Adam will flex.
If he flexes, he might break 3 bones.
I just think it's ridiculous. You say, oh, this is such a problem. They're having red alert meetings, gathering folks. We need to vote. We need to change the lottery. Or we don't. I'm just going to give everybody who... Look, and you want to know something? I'd be fine if that's the way it worked. This is the thing that was my problem with it in the first place. He's got his eye... He's a magician. That's what he does. He says, look over here, and don't look at my issues over here. That's Adam Silver. So look over here. Here's a rabbit, but you don't see the flowers coming out of my hat. It's a mind trick. So nobody pays attention to the fact that he covered a gambling scandal to keep the FanDuel and DraftKings people happy. So what do? I make a big dog and pony show about tanking's the issue, tanking's the issue. And then when it comes down to brass tacks, it's not the issue. You gave all the losers the best picks.
You know what's crazy? I just found out last night that they don't even do the ping pong balls. An outside source does it.
Yeah, sure. Oink. An outside source who's paid by who?
The league. Yeah.
Okay.
I got you.
Right. The same source. You want to know what else they investigated? This
Terry Rozier.
The Terry Rozier. Exactly, dude. Exactly. The Bums, Furman, and Bums, whatever the law firm is. Like, that's the same people that investigated Terry Rozier and said, nah, nothing to see here. Yeah, of course. What do you mean? I'll take Adam Silver's money, and all I got to do is say what? Everything's cool over here, baby? That's literally what they do all the time. Have we had... Oh, Kawhi Leonard. They really cared about that scandal. Oh, wait, they didn't? They got a top 5 pick? talking about here,
dating,
dude?
Dating technically get a top five pick. The Patriots got a top five pick. They were just, the Patriots general manager was stupid enough to put that top five pick in a trade for Zubac.
Vlad, that's semantic samurai at its finest, dude. Hey. They have the top five pick. That was the stipulation, which, by the way, who the hell was, who was clamoring for Zubac that much? He's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. But, like, you're telling me they wouldn't do that trade again next year? What, like, what is that? Oh, we protect it top four and top 10, but not five through nine. It's you. I'm like, what?
Which is the meat of the.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And the guy comes out. His name is, what the hell is the guy's name?
Pritchard. Kevin Pritchard.
This was his tweet. He said, I'm really sorry to all our fans. I own taking this risk. Surprised it came out at fifth this year. I thought we were due some luck. But please remember, this team deserved a starting center to compete with the best teams next year. We have always been resilient, which, I mean.
Means nothing.
Okay. So, I'm just sitting here being like, wait a minute. Who was clamoring for Zubac that much? You could have gotten him. You could have gotten him in the summer. He wasn't going anywhere. So anyway,
or for a second rounder, was he that dominant that he needed a top four protected pick?
Zubac is a good center.
Zubac is a good center.
I'm not saying he's not good.
He's probably worth a top. You could get a one for Zubac, but yeah, a top five.
But just not in this year's draft.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to make sense. So anyway, the Heat, no luck falls their way. I was fine yesterday. If everybody wondering, like, were you? No, I was trying to be an adult. You know, I was hosting Mother's Day. I'm not going to ruin Mrs. Tobin's Mother's Day. I'm not going to ruin my mother's Mother's Day. I'm not going to ruin my mother-in-law's Mother's Day. I had people over. I was watching it in the pool, watching it on my phone. And they're like, what are you watching over there? I'm like, nothing. Because I'm trying to explain the draft lottery to people.
The biggest thing I have with sports, it's not watching it or enjoying it with others, right? It's when people sit down and say, mind if I watch?
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah, and trying to explain. So, like, they're like, oh, it's the, some people know what the draft is. They're like, it's the draft? I'm like, it's the draft lottery. They're like, what does that mean? I'm basically going to sit here and see if the Heat have, a horseshoe up there, you know what, and they get lucky. That's what I'm watching, which immediately I knew wasn't going
to
happen.
Okay, back to the pool.
Yeah, back to the pool.
Like right
and
away.
So I was just like, you know what? I got to live my life. I can't sit here. Like, the Heat got what they deserved, but Adam Silver's a fraud. That's what I came away with. That's what I came away with. Because honestly, here's the thing. With the Heat having 13, this is the thing I trust the most with.
Yeah.
The way they've drafted lately.
It's the top five picks that you have.
Yeah, but like the way they draft, there's nobody in the organization right now doing their job better than Adam Simon. That guy's good at his job.
Right.
Everybody else, Pat Riley and Andy making the trades, Eric Spoelstra the way that he's coaching, But Adam Simon, I trust him. He's going to do – he's. You give him 13, you might as well have given him top five because he's going to get the best guy there. All right, Tyrese Maxey thing aside. By the way, shut up about the Maxey thing. They just got obliterated by the Knicks. Big Tyrese Maxey. Dade Sasser's nailed the Nico pick. It was 27, you rat bastard. 27? It's like a second round pick.
Right.
Crazy. You guys are like, He's mostly done a very good job. Kalel, good pick. Kasper Jakaćonas, seems like it's going to be a good pick. Jaime Jaquez, nearly sixth man of the year this year. Bam Adebayo, pretty good pick. By the way, none of these guys are top 10 picks.
Top 10, right.
Yeah, top 10. Not top 10 picks. The highest he's had is 13, 6 years ago with Tyler Hero. He's good at his job. He's the guy that I trust the most right now in the organization. So I'm not worried about that if they keep it. If they keep it.
Who would they?
Well, I don't know. If it's in the Giannis deal, if it's in any deal, you know?
Right.
I think like the one thing I would say is being at 13 now is like, oh, well, now it's going to be in talks. If they are going to deal it, I could see them trading it. Because they'll be like, hey, Adam, just get a first-round pick in the second round. That's what you do. You got his Pella Larson. Right. Do it again.
Right.
He's like, all right, I'll try, you know? But I'm fine. I'm not, you know, crying about it. It's just, I just think the hypocrisy from this league is hilarious. Because they sit here and they just make stuff up in content for, like, the entire regular season, because nobody likes the regular season. And I guess I'm one of these guys. It's like I like the regular season. I like watching basketball.
Right.
But everything else is just a charade. It's all like, oh, we have to do something about this. And they don't have to do anything about it. The way it should work is the worst teams get it. But the thing that's funny about it is everybody thinks it's fixed. And so maybe this was a throw them off the scent year because everybody thinks it's fixed.
Do we really need a lottery? I think you should just have a rule that you can't have the number one pick 2 years in a row.
And just give it to the worst teams?
And yeah.
Yeah, because you probably could do that.
Because, like, it's really stupid, right? Like, and here's what I would say. The bad team's going to be bad regardless of where they pick. Like, every now and
Kings
then.
Kings are going
to king. Every now and then, a good franchise has a bad season, like what happened with Damon Robinson got hurt and they ended up.
San Antonio.
When San Antonio ended up with the power forward, I forgot his name.
You forgot Tim Duncan.
That's it.
He was a pretty good player.
But that's what I'm saying, huh?
You forgot the greatest power forward.
I know.
That's probably how Tim Duncan wanted it.
But that's usually doesn't happen very often. Usually it's the bad organizations that make bad decisions that are always in the top five anyway. Mm-hmm. So, like, you creating ping pong balls is not making that situation better. The organization's bad.
I just think it's fun. Like, it really doesn't deter me off the fact of where the Heat are or where they've been. This is what, like, believing that a 4% chance at a top four or a 1% chance is going to change your luck, that's not a plan. That's not a plan. But I just think it's funny that the league spent all of this year shaking a fist and none of the behavior of the bad teams got any consequences.
Right.
Except for, I guess, the Pacers, but the Pacers made a stupid trade. Right. So I can't really.
They still would
have had a top five pick.
Again, it boils down to when you see all these decisions and who ends up with those picks anyway, it always ends up being bad organizations making bad moves and not necessarily people trying to, you know, maneuver their way up the draft.
Schmeathen says at least the guy at Indiana took responsibility. Did he? He said, I hope luck was on it. Could you imagine what the fan base would say if Pat Riley came out here and goes, thought luck was on our side this year, boys?
Hold on.
He would have gotten killed.
No, maybe, but at least Indy's general manager's going with the fact that they just came back from two Eastern Conference finals, went to the NBA finals last year, went seven games with them and lost their best player in the game seven. So their mindset is they lost Miles Turner. We get the center and Zubac back to replace Miles Turner. And we took an L this season. We're going to take an L this season. We can be fortunate and get a top five pick.
Yes.
To go along with Siakam, Halliburton, Neesmith, and all the guys that they had from their previous NBA final team.
All you need is Tyrese Halliburton to look exactly the same off an Achilles tear with the fastest offense in the league. That's it.
Yeah. But they're the ones who decided to make the move for Zubac, which was, you know, big mistake.
Yeah.
And now you lost yourself a...
Unless somebody gave me eight picks and Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
He's very proud of himself for that one.
I'm going to go right. I'm going to pass one by you.
Oh, man.
Surprisingly, a lot to talk about. I guess LeBron's always a good topic of conversation. Do you think Tyler Herro's played his final game? I asked Ira. Do you think Tyler Herro's played his final game with the Miami Heat?
I do, and I hope that he has.
I agree with you because of what Ira said, which is not hope like, oh my God, he's garbage, I got to get him off my team. It's just enough.
It's a 305.
Dale.
God bless.
Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
305 is sponsored by Miami Lakes Chevrolet, where you walk in as a customer and drive out as family. Yeah, it's just a carousel with Tyler Herro, and probably for his own, because what'll happen inevitably, if he's back, he will be part of every trade rumor once again when the Heat start courting someone else. It's probably time to move on for everyone's sake.
And to that point, he's not garbage because he wouldn't be a trade piece because nobody would have no value. Right? He has value. I just think down here, the injuries and the he is a defensive turnstile as well. Let's be honest. But offensively, he can play ball, but he's never around. I don't remember what's his big game this year. When did he go crazy one game? Like
I think Pat Riley probably is done with him as well because of the availability issue. But Pat Riley also knows he's maybe his best trade asset. So yeah. it's a very interesting dilemma.
You know what scared me? And I don't like it, but Ira, you know, I listen to Ira. Like you say, 38 years. If everybody knows that Khalil Ware has no motor, it's not just us. It's the whole league knows he has no motor. And that might be why he transferred colleges, and that's might be why Spo has a problem with him. So Khalil's upsetting me now.
Think Tyler will be back next season, Solana?
I don't, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
If they can't find a suitor.
Yeah, but I think ultimately the Heat likely are not going to give him an extension or the type of extension he's going to be looking for. And I think he and the Heat would be better off either trading him this offseason if it's for Giannis. If not, then maybe for somebody else. Or trading him at the deadline, because you don't want Tyler here to walk for nothing. And yeah. If it's not done this summer, then I think ultimately he'll be back, but he's an unrestricted free agent next year. You don't want to lose him for anything. The Heat aren't going to extend him. And, you move him at the deadline. But Crowder, I do take some issue with the way you're talking about Tyler Hero. I'm not dodging the fact that he has injury concerns and that once again this year he wasn't available. But to pretend like Tyler Hero isn't a really good NBA player. I'm not calling him a superstar.
Nope. Really good offensive NBA player.
Yeah. 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 But I mean, he was an all-star last year, and he deserved to be an all-star last year. And this year the injuries got in the way of him, you know, being available. And I'm with you. Like, and we can criticize him for that because that's been a recurring theme throughout his entire career. But he's not garbage, man. Like, he had some really solid games this year when he was back, and he's not just like some guy.
Like Ira said, I mean, he's talked about in trades for Kevin Durant and for Giannis. Like, he's not garbage. No one thinks he's garbage.
No, he needs to come off the bench and be a
sixth man of the year.
Like, come off the bench, and if they're having offensive troubles, come off the bench and go score 10 real fast. I think that's the rest of Tyler's career. And also, I'm going to give you a secret about athletes. You don't get older and healthier. Like, nobody said, oh, he kept getting hurt at 23. Oh, he's good at 33. He's going to continue to get injured.
Right, but he's only 26. It's not like he's 29, 30, and he's entering the back end of his career. Like, theoretically, he still is getting to what should be an NBA player's prime. And he's gotten better every year. Like, he genuinely has. He just can't stay healthy.
Well, show me on the court, Solana. You can't tell me that during shoot around.
Well, I mean, he was an all-star last year. Like, let's not get it twisted. He literally was the best player on the Miami Heat last season, and they were a playoff team. I'm not saying that's good enough. I'm not saying Tyler Hero is a superstar. I'm not suggesting he will be, but the way he gets talked about and disrespected by some Heat fans, I think is weird, because like he's a quality NBA player and he's a really good offensive talent.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody disrespects him. I mean, he's a quality player. He's a quality player, but it's time.
Oh, I'm with you. I agree 100%. But I do think he gets disrespected a lot. Like, talked about, like, if the ceiling for Tyler Hero is just like a six man and a role player. And I don't think
he was six man of the year, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was six man of the year, but it doesn't mean that he can't be a starter. He's an all-star.
But I think Crowder's kind of got something there, though. I mean, you want a guy to come in, spark an offense and make buckets, make things happen. Like, he's your guy.
But to make him a centerpiece of a team, I think we've tried that for years.
No, I mean, that was proven last year in the playoffs. I mean, that was my biggest takeaway last year from the NBA playoffs. Tyler Hero cannot be your go-to player and your number one option if you want to contend, because they took him out of the series last year and he had absolutely no option to take over. He just couldn't. They took him out of the series. Yeah. I'm with you on that. He can't be a marquee player on your team, but can he be your third or fourth best option and one of your primary scorers? For sure. For sure he can.
I'm just saying, you look at those guards in San Antonio, you look at Jalen Brunson, you look at some dogs, Tyler's not anywhere close to them. Tyler, like I said, come off the bench and spark the offense. I think that's going to be his role. He's 26 till he's 36. He has 10 years to spark the offense off the bench.
Welcome back in here on QAM. Omar's already getting jumped for his Ja Morant take. I don't know where you come up with this stuff, man, but Ja Morant is a mess, and that is not what is needed down here. Now, I get like peak Ja Morant, you know, prime Ja Morant, fine, but you know, Omar, this guy's got so many problems, and you're the one who leads the charge on the like it's so hard to function in Miami because it's such a, you know, club city or whatever it is your hot take is on Miami. Why do you want to bring Ja Morant into that?
Because at one point he was on top of the world, NBA world, from a talent standpoint. I do believe that Heat culture has done nothing but have reclamation projects. Probably might be the best team in the NBA at reclamation projects and keeping guys on straight and narrow, allowing them to live out their potential. And I believe you can get him for half the price that you can get Giannis. And is he still a superstar or is he not? If you think that he's lost his edge or lost his motivation or stopped caring about basketball, yes, he's done some really stupid things, tremendously stupid things. But we all do stupid things when we're young. And yes, is South Florida a challenge for professional athletes? Is this a horrendous environment to put a guy with $300 million into and let him loose on the city? Absolutely. However, I do believe that Ja Morant probably feels like he has not maximized his potential, maximized his career, and might still be able to do that.
I don't know what Ja Morant feels. I know that he just can't get out of his own way, but I know, look, for me,
he stayed out of trouble the whole last season.
Me, man, look, it's Giannis or bust right now for me. And I
Giannis,
do
you're think, doing nothing, huh?
I do think that the Heat need to find a way not only to get this deal done, but to do it without including Bam. And I saw a trade scenario yesterday. The Heat have a top pick coming up here in the draft, 13th pick. They got
13, baby. Sexy selection.
Well, it is for the Bucks.
No, it's not. They have a higher draft pick on their own.
Look, Giannis only has, what, a year left in his deal there? So, you know, they're only limited in what they're going to get, Omar, so they can only take their best offer.
You have to dictate that he wants to be part of the Miami Heat or a supposedly he wants to stay.
I don't think that will be an issue. I don't think that will be an issue, him wanting to come down here. But the question becomes, like, who do you put into this deal? And it looks like you're going to have to include Tyler Hero, which would be one, and Khalil Ware, which would be two.
Who cares what you put into the deal? Who cares at this point?
Well, it's not a who cares. I mean, you do have to put something around Giannis. You can't just bring him here and, you know, pick up four guys from the park and say, all right, you're in.
I think the Heat have shown you that they've got a history of making, developing, finding players.
When he said out on Giannis, keep Bam and Tyler, get Banchero. I don't know that that's realistic or not. I think we should focus on Giannis first things first. Yeah, I just think you find a way to get this deal done with the picks, because the picks in the NBA are, especially for a team like the Heat, are relatively useless, right? Just get rid of the picks. You're not going to build through picks. Get Giannis in here and figure out a way to pair him with Bam. And, you know, and that's where we start, man.
Milwaukee, I'm not accepting any deal that doesn't include Bam. I'm trading you
realistic.
One of the NFL's five biggest stars for your leftovers.
First of all, I don't know that he's one of their five biggest stars right now as it sits. But no, I mean, look, Omar, realistically, like Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, you throw in Jovic or something like those are some pretty good pieces,
Those are some good pieces.
No, especially for a team like Milwaukee.
Stop selling your bargain basement.
561, Texter 561 says Tyler Ware, Jaime Jaquez. and a first. Bucks don't have much leverage. You could throw Jaime Jaquez in there. I mean, you just need to put pieces in there that, you know, the Bucks will find attractive enough. But again, you can't give up the entire team, Omar. I mean,
No. We're not talking. No, you're willing to give up the entire team except for Bam. If I'm Milwaukee, I'm saying any offer you make starts with Bam.
They can tell them to kick rocks and go find another team that's willing to do business with you. I don't know that
and
they're
I'm
going
sure the 76ers are.
I don't know that they're. Well, who are the Sixers going to give? The corpse of Joel Embiid. Well, again, I think Tyler Hero and Khalil Ware are as good as the Bucks are going to get offered. I looked at a lot of the trade scenarios last night. They are about as good of as far as the players in the deal go, and the Heat can throw in three firsts. So, like, I just think it's a big enough package that
for three
we're in place.
You think if the New York Knicks don't get to the championship round, you don't think they'll offer them anything to get Giannis and build that thing properly? Like,
if the Knicks don't get to the finals?
If the Knicks don't win the finals.
The Knicks are not winning the finals. That's not going to happen. Not in this lifetime. They're not beating the Thunder in a 7-game series. I don't care. I like this Knicks team. I've been on record saying that.
You never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. If Shea breaks
both of his legs, then perhaps the Knicks will have a chance in that series.
All it takes is one.
Okay. But I don't see the Knicks winning that thing. But look, the Knicks put together a really nice team. I don't imagine that the Knicks are going to, you know, start sending
things over to Milwaukee to bring in
Giannis. They are. Well, Omar, they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals where they have a pretty good shot to win. So
and they probably still can't get past the Thunder or San Antonio because I'm not going to.
And I know that the Knicks were included in that thing. They were on there, but I just don't know that the Knicks are going to be in a situation where they're going to want to, you know, start throwing their core at Milwaukee to bring in Giannis. I think it's more realistic. I think the Heat, to me, out of everything I looked at, the Heat had the best possible offer that the Bucks could be looking at. And this may happen, by the way, very shortly here. This could happen in the coming days and weeks here. I know the draft is coming up, and so they want to get this thing done. Giannis and we'll see what kind of offer the Heat are willing to make.
If the
Heat have not been willing to give up a lot of these guys.
It says who? I have a hard time. I have a hard time. Here's the thing. You know the Heat made their best offer at the trade deadline, and the Bucks turned up their nose at it.
Mm-hmm.
So your offer's got to get better, bro. And pretty much the only way we know it's going to – what do you think? Where was the holdup? Like, Tyler was the holdup? Like, come on. Jokic? Like, come on. This is you're going to have to at some point. I think Heat fans are going to have to realize Bam is not as untouchable as you think that he is. And
you take what Pat Riley and Spo and all them say at face value, which I think
that's what you say when you're
at the doubt. I don't think they're going to be willing to trade Bam. That's just what I think on it. And before I was like, all right, just trade whoever, because this team is just stuck. But I do think you need to try and keep Bam, and I think there is certainly a path to doing that.
I saw a question in the Sun Sentinel for Ira Winderman today that said, Ira, I remember when some were saying the Heat should have traded Bam for Joel Embiid. I was probably one of them. the emailer says at least Bam shows up for work, which is so true, by the way. And Ira responds, the Joel Embiid paradox is one that makes you wonder. When he's on top of his game and on top of his health, he is the best big man in the NBA this side of Victor Wembanyama. And Ira writes parenthetically, with all due respect to Nikola Jovic because of the two-way impact. But there simply are too many questions to ever have a comfort level. But regardless, about Embiid, I saw this on NBA Central. Did you see what his cap hits are for the next three seasons? With his extension, with his max extension.
Something crazy.
Which kicks in this year.
Crazy. Next season, 2026-2027, when he's 32 years old, $57.9 million. The following season, $62.6 million. And the 28-29 season, $67.2 million.
I need to DM him. I know he has some fun parties.
Crazy. That's crazy. I guess, you know, we're just kind of shock free with money that athletes earn at this point. But holy mackerel. In the next three seasons, he's making what, like $180 million? Next 100, three seasons.
$192 million. 3 years, $192 million is what kicks in starting this summer.
God. The crazy part is his talent, healthy, justifies every dime.
It does, but you will never get it. You can't, you talk about the trend with the Heat falling, you know, not moving down from where they're slotted, like, has Joel Embiid ever been healthy for a complete season? A complete season.
No, I don't even have to look. I don't even have to look. There's no chance he played over 70 games in a season.
His MVP season, my guess is, I mean, he definitely met that 65-game threshold.
I don't even think they had it back then, did they?
Maybe not, but still, like, I'll look it up right now. You win MVP.
Look it up. I'll bet anybody he hasn't played over 70 games in a season.
He played 66 that year, 66 games. And the year before, he played 68 games.
And how old was he?
He's 32 now. What year was it? So that was 20 in 2021, 22. So three seasons ago, he played 68. And in the 23 season, he played 66.
He'll be 32 next year.
He's 28 years old.
His body's 52.
It is. It's crazy.
And that's what it is. They got to deal with him now. Nobody's trading for him. That's a waste of money.
Man, does anybody think? Yeah, like you don't want to be saddled with that, which, by the way, is part of the concern with a Giannis, a Kawhi. Those guys are going to command massive money, right, Solana? Like we talked about Ja Morant. Now, Ja Morant, you may be able to get him on the cheap, but you'd have to promise him, right? Like, he's not going to do I'll prove it to you. Like, he's not at that point in his career where he's going to prove it to someone. He's going to get a, I almost cursed, a bleep load of money.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, here's the funny thing about the Embiid number. So next year, he's going to make $58 million, right? Which will be, as of right now, the sixth highest paid player in the league, which, it's stupid money. But, man, just go down like 10 slots. Evan Mobley from the Cavaliers is making $50 million. Jamal Murray, $50 million. De'Aaron Fox, $50 million. Jaren Jackson Jr., 49. It's 305.
Dale.
God bless. Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
305 is sponsored by Lake Chevrolet, where you walk in as a customer and drive out as family.
This is just what
my car note. I'm about to get it repossessed. This one I wait till repossession time to pay it.
Jeez. Great strategy.
Like DeMontis Sabonis, $45 million. Like, this is just what the market is right now in the NBA per year. I mean, John Morant next year will only be the 32nd highest paid player in the NBA. And that has to do with he signed that extension following his rookie scale contract. So it's just what he was able to make. This next one, ideally, will put him up in the $60 million per year. Now, he's not going to get that with the way he's missed games and all the other
stuff. He'll get close, though, won't he?
Yeah, he'll probably make annually, if he gets the extension that he's looking for from a team, in the $50 million range. You just will.
And the market's the market, but you bring up Hawk brought up Kawhi, and it sounds crazy. I don't want to bring Kawhi to Miami. We know he's not going to play. Like, we'll get excited.
When he does, though, you know, to the point of, like, when Joel Embiid is out there, he's arguably the best big man out there.
Yes.
When Kawhi is Kawhi,
stupid.
Holy mackerel.
But we're going to get holy mackerel for 40 games out of 82?
I mean, it really only matters in the postseason.
But then it's eating up the salary cap. Now can you add somebody else?
It only matters in the postseason, though.
I mean,
it really does.
It only matters in the postseason if you can ensure you're a top six seed. Because the Clippers are a perfect example. The Clippers, had they been healthy enough throughout the regular season, they would have avoided the top six seed. I mean, look how well they performed after starting whatever it was, like 4-20 or whatever. They had one of the best turnarounds after that mark. And then they were one of the best teams in the league, but you got into the play-in tournament, and the West is really hard to get out of the play-in tournament. Even the East, man, like Orlando had to fight through the play-in tournament, and they gave Detroit seven games. Like they could have won. They were up 20 in game six with a 3-2 lead. I'm not comparing the East to the West, but you got what I'm saying. Like it's difficult. It's hard to come out of the play-in tournament. You don't want to be there if you're the Miami Heat. And I think if you have Kawhi on your team and you're banking on Kawhi and Bam as your duo, and obviously some other parts around it, but that's what you're banking on, you're running that risk of being back in the Jimmy Butler territory, which is, once again, just saying, oh, we just have to be ready for the playoffs. Well, okay, but good luck being healthy.
But if, come you, April but if 14th. You don't, I don't know what the alternative is, though, because we know who's out there. The guys who are out there are the guys who are frustrating at some level. The guys who are great players and don't give any problems and are out there all the time aren't available. They're not moving around. So what's the alternative is this same thing again. So it's almost like, hey, do you want to roll, like, do you want to play conservatively or do you want to roll the dice and say, hey, Kawhi's got an amazing season left in him?
This is the do I want Jalen Brunson? 1,000%. But Jalen Brunson's never going to hit the market because they're going to give him whatever he asked for because he's amazing.
Where, he is. He already hit the market from Dallas. That was a huge mistake. Like that, those mistakes don't happen.
No. But what, like I asked Will, if we're whale hunting, we have three harpoons. Solana, who are three harpoons saved for? Giannis is one. Who's the next two?
Yeah, and I know Heat fans don't want to hear this, and I get it, by the way. Like, I want this team to build a contender. I'm all in on Giannis. You guys know how I feel about this. But if you can't get Giannis, because other teams are going to get in the mix here, right? If you can't get Giannis, then the alternative is to play your young players next year. And maybe you do trade Tyler Hero. Maybe you do trade some of these other guys and you try to collect some assets. You play your young guys and you remain flexible for the next offseason or the next disgruntled superstar. And again, I know Heat fans don't want to hear that. I get it. But this idea that they're going to tank, like Ira was on with us the other day and he made it pretty clear this year, there was no, this upcoming year, the pick is owed to Charlotte either this year or the following year. And I get it. I think it's top eight protected or top 10 protected. Maybe it's lottery protected, but either way, like they're not going to tank. So get that out of the way.
But Solana,
I'm just giving you names, right?
No,
like
no. That's quite clearly just to the point. If we just run it back, isn't that a man tank, a testosterone tank? We're not going to beat anybody in the East with this same roster,
right? But they're not running it back. Like the team next year is not going to be Norman Powell, Andrew Wiggins, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Khalil Ware, and Davion Mitchell. It's just not like they're. If they can't get a whale or they can't get one of these marquee players we're talking about, then they're not going to lock themselves in to long-term money on some of these guys. Like they're not going to give Andrew Wiggins the extension that he wants. They're not going to give Norman Powell a deep extension that's going to keep
you're
them
you're
out
essentially
of
running it back, but with different names, but the same outcome without one of those whales.
Right. But I just don't understand what's the alternative.
The there isn't one. Right. Well, the alternative is a flat out tank. That's like that. You know, if you can't get the whale, because I understand stay flexible, but this is the person who then is only stretching and is never working out. You know what I mean? Like it has been stretching to get ready to run a marathon for 10 years, but has never run a 5K.
Flexible,
you know what I mean?
As
like
flexible
nobody
as
wants
hell.
To hear stay flexible if you never compete with that flexibility. And again, I'm not blaming them for not getting Damian Lillard because that seemed to be a done deal. I'm not blaming them for not getting Giannis. It really seemed like they were extremely close this trade deadline, and that was because they were flexible enough to have the assets to go get them. So I don't know. I think, you know, if there's really three alternatives, which are get a whale, run it back some pseudo way and stay flexible, or flat out tank, get rid of everyone. I think most Heat fans would say flat out tank. But like you said, Ira told us, one of those draft picks, you're going to lose it. So you're tanking, and then you're going to be terrible. What was it, 28? And then you're not going to have the pick.
Well, so Charlotte is owed next year the 2027 pick, but I just checked. It's lottery protected. So if the Heat were to tank this year, right, or they just put out a roster that's not very good, they end up being a lottery team, they keep that pick, then in 2028, it's going to Charlotte, 100%. So you have 1 year to get that right, 1 year. But we know that they're not going to do that. They're not purposely
right.
going
to
tank.
It's not on the table.
It's yeah. not. But here are the names. And again, I'm not suggesting that the Heat are you know, in the market for any of these guys. But just hear me out here, okay? Steph Curry's contract is up next year.
I'll take him.
I think Steve Kerr signed back because Steph is going to keep playing.
Well, Steve Kerr signed back for sure. And you're,
I think
you're
Steph
probably
would
right.
like to end his career in Golden State, no?
Yeah.
Or go to Charlotte, where his dad played, and he's okay. a legend over there. But you know, you look. one of them is Jimmy Butler, but Kawhi Leonard next year,
pass.
Obviously, Kawhi Leonard next year is an unrestricted free agent. If he doesn't move anywhere this year, he doesn't sign an extension. So you could get Kawhi next year without having to trade anything for him. In this instance, this offseason, the Clippers are going to say, "Well, we want something." And yeah. do you really want to give up an asset for Kawhi Leonard? If I can get him for nothing next year, then maybe. I know Tobin.
We'll wait till he's older and richer. Checkmate.
We Donovan, got him now, Hawk.
Donovan Mitchell next year.
Oh,
his contract
I love it.
Is up. He does have a player option, but he's obviously going to opt out of it because he's going to want an extension. He's going to be up for a massive extension if he doesn't sign one this offseason.
You enjoyed meeting him Friday night, too.
I met Donovan Mitchell?
No.
Didn't you?
Wrong D. Mitch.
Oh,
wrong D. Mitch.
My bad.
Those are the guys you're going to be in the market for. Or look at this offseason. Did anybody expect Jaylen Brown to be in trade discussions? Like, that's going to happen next year as well. Maybe you go out and you get Kawhi Leonard and you get Kevin Durant next year. Like, I'm just saying the Heat are going to remain flexible because they want to be in a position where if all of a sudden – next year is a bleep show in the NBA, and names are available. They want to be in the mix, and they're not going to hamstring themselves to bad contracts this offseason unless it's Giannis, unless it's that big move to keep them from 2027. And I know that's not what Heat fans want to hear. I get it. I'm with you. I don't want to hear that either. I want Giannis. Like, go get me Giannis. I want to compete next year. The East is wide open. The stupid New York Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm sick to my stomach watching that. But I also don't want the Heat to just be stupid and start throwing money around this offseason because fans don't want to see Tyler Hero back next year. I think that's a massive, massive step backwards just to avoid 1 year where you couldn't get anything else done.
That was the mistake with the Tyler Hero contract. That's what ate up all the money. Tyler, get rid of Tyler. Tyler's running. Like you said, he's run his course, Alana. You think Tyler Hero should stay in Miami?
He's one of your better assets, though. I think he's one of your better trade assets.
I think he's a liability. He played six games or something like that.
No, valid.
I mean, the injury stuff, it's not even debatable. But Crowder, his contract wasn't a mistake. He's the 60th highest paid player in the league. He was an all-star last year.
Being 60. Stop, how much does he make? How much does Tyler Hero make?
$33 million.
Tyler Hero earned $33 million in the year of 2025 and 2026.
But the problem is, tell him who else is making $33 million.
Emmanuel Quickly.
Want him?
Yep.
I mean that honestly, like that's who's in that market.
There is a need for some live sports down here in South Florida with the
Heat. What are you talking about? They've got baseball. You've got MLS.
We got baseball, and I know we have soccer. But this is usually the time of year when the Panthers are getting ready to really make their push here towards the final. And, you know, sometimes, well, more times than not, the Heat are involved. But that hasn't been the case lately here. By the way, speaking of the Heat, and I know I wanted to get back to this Dolphin stuff, but really quick, just to get back to this Heat thing, I saw a bunch of trade possibilities. You know, they have that trade machine thing, Dan, where you plug all the names in. And, you know, I saw one yesterday with the Heat, and the Heat may have the most attractive offer. They have some picks that they can give away. There's two later picks in like the 2030s when, you know, who knows, Omar will be alive by then, but they have picks then and that they can give first-round picks. They have this upcoming first-round pick that they can throw in there, and you can also throw Tyler Hero, Kalal Ware, and some other things in there to entice the deal as well. So Milwaukee essentially came out and said that they are looking for blue-chip prospects. They are looking for, you know, top-tier picks, all that good stuff. Now, I don't know how much leverage Milwaukee's going to have here. This will be interesting to see, you know, how extreme the offers get. But I think most Heat fans are kind of with me on this one. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like it is time to give up the farm here and whatever it is that it need, you know, you need to do to get this done. Now, if you can, obviously, if you can keep Bam, that is the goal here, right? If you want to pair Bam with Giannis. But if it takes Tyler Hero, if it takes Kalal Ware, if it takes any of these other guys that are on there, I'm doing it, man. I would pull the trigger on that all day.
And I hate the fact that Heat fans are like, oh, if you know, maybe we don't have to give up Kalal Ware. You didn't even respect or like Kalal Ware this season. The Heat just – Heat turned their nose up to what Kalal Ware brought. From a player standpoint, it was, I mean, so I look at it from a standpoint, it doesn't make him more attractive because we see the ability, but they basically came out and were like, yeah, too inconsistent of a player for us to rely on. So now you're trying to sell him to somebody else and pretend like he's a great commodity.
So I already see people starting to fight with each other here on our chat, like one Heat cult. Who is with us every morning, says, do not trade Ware, 7 foot shooters of the future. Keep up with the Spurs. And listen, I'm with you. I don't dislike Kalal Ware as a player. I don't. I actually think he's pretty good. But again, I don't want to be in the play-in tournament every single year with this same cast of characters. Like if you're not willing to part with these guys, I don't think you're going to be doing business here. So I think we have to come to a consensus here that it is everyone but Bam that we are willing to trade. And by the way, I probably would trade Bam if need be, but it's everyone but Bam at this point, right? I mean, there should be nobody on this team that is untradeable because you have to shake things up. That's what the Heat need. They need a major shakeup on this roster.
Here's the truth about the situation. I'm not necessarily certain that what the Heat have to offer is attractive to Milwaukee. If you have to throw in Bam at this point, and we can sit here and we can talk about how Bam is such a cornerstone of what the Heat want to do and want to build. If it costs you Bam to get Giannis, don't you do it? Thank you, Dande. This only actually works if you use your voice on radio.
But here's the problem. I just see Dande nodding along. Here's the problem with that, Omar. Giannis cannot do it by himself.
Okay,
he does need some players around him. He's going to need at least another, and I don't know, I don't want to get into the do you consider Bam a star thing this morning because it's kind of a, you know, useless conversation, but you do need someone around him to help him. Like you're not going to be able to bring him in here and surround him with, you know, a who's who of, you know, aging vets and hope that it's going to help. Like you need something around him. And I think, you know, Bam would provide that player that he would be very comfortable playing with. So, again, I really, truly do think you need to put something of substance around Giannis. So I would really try to keep Bam. I just don't see, like, that to me would be too much at that point. If you're going to give up Ware, Hero, Bam, like that to me is just too much.
What is too much for continuing to sit in this?
But I don't know that bringing in Giannis and getting rid of all those guys takes you out of that mediocrity deal here. Look, Giannis is on the Bucks, and I know they won a championship with him over there, but they have not had much other luck outside of that, Omar. So, like, Dan, am I crazy here? Like, the Bucks have not been
terrible in the playoffs.
Yeah, they've been terrible. So
terrible.
I still think, I mean, you do obviously need to put something around this guy for him to be successful here. And I think, look, you see that everywhere in the NBA. What team is led by just one guy that's still playing? I mean, look at the teams that are still playing. Like, you know who their number one is. I think it's very clear. All right, look at OKC. Shea is clearly their number one, but he is surrounded by really good players over there. Right, you look at the teams that played last night. I think Wemby is the clear number one of the Spurs. They have a lot of great talent on that team. The Wolves, Anthony Edwards, they're number one clearly, but they have some really nice players that they have surrounded him with, all-star level talent over there. And you look at the Knicks, like Jalen Brunson is surrounded by really good players over there with the Knicks. So I do think that you need to at least keep something to put around this guy. And I think Bam is like, they're being smart, I think, Omar, by saying like, we're not going to put Bam in a deal. There should be enough to entice. If you give up three firsts and you give up some of those players, like that should be enough to bring in Giannis at this point.
Yeah, but you're not factoring in other teams, what they're going to be offering. And I don't know how much truth there is to what's being said out there about Giannis, and you know that his preference would be to stay in the East, or you know, I don't know if there's any limitation on what you should offer to Giannis, because he's still a generational talent. He's still a player that can transform your franchise and make it relevant. And I'm at the point where, you know, I don't think there's anything that I wouldn't give up to start this and begin building this differently. And that includes Bam. If you look at who this organization is, they're able to find pieces and develop pieces no matter what. What they need is a star, a whale to build around, and they don't have one. So
I don't think Giannis is going to want to come to a situation where it is going to be a quote unquote rebuild, right? Like,
I'm sure there's going to be pieces here left.
Not if you're doing the deal your way. You do the deal your way, and your cupboard's going to be pretty bare, my friend. But like,
I didn't say I'm giving up Bam and everything. What if they say
31 years old? He's 31 years old. Okay, so your window is not going to be forever. But listen, outside of Bam, and I've kind of been back and forth on this one, but you have to keep something. And I saw that offer that they put out there yesterday, and like, to me, that's a more than reasonable enough offer. Right, you put the picks in there, you put some of those players in there, you know, whether it be Tyler or Kalel. I just think that seems to be enough. And this may get done quickly, by the way. This deal may get done somewhat quickly here. So we'll see in the coming days how this one shakes out.